Huh? I'm going to preach today. I'm going to preach today. Because God wants to offer some of you something you've been looking for your whole life without even knowing that you've been looking for this. You've tried to fill this void and try to make things better with the things of this world, and still your life is in utter turmoil. All you long for is peace. We talked about the gospel, and I hope in our weeks that we spent together just looking at the gospel so far, we've seen the gospel of grace, because we started out in Galatians where Paul said, don't turn away from the gospel that you heard, the gospel that we preached. And we saw that that was the gospel of grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Christ paid it all. And I'm thankful today it wasn't left in my hands to earn salvation. How about you? I'd spend an eternity in hell separated from God, I assure you, because I could never do anything righteous enough to obtain salvation from a holy God. We talked about how that grace is accessed through the gift of faith that God gives us. I hope this week that you had a new understanding of that all good things come from God. The faith that you've received to trust in His grace to save you came from God. You didn't one day wake up and get this thought and say, hey, I think I'm going to start believing in God today. I think I'm going to start trusting Jesus as my Savior today. I hope you realize that it's been the work of God, like we talked about, from the beginning, and it will be till the end, till Jesus Christ makes our faith sight. And I long for that day. I don't know about you. I long for the day where He turns my faith into sight, and I get to see, and I've already seen, I promise you, I'm seeing in my life like never before, the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness of God, where you trust Him and you can't see Him, but you keep on trusting Him by faith, and He keeps on showing how faithful He is. Let me tell you what, if you're His child here today, you can bank on this. He is faithful. Period. That's a free sermon before the sermon. We've seen the gospel of grace. We've seen the gospel of faith. And I want to talk to you today about the true gospel of peace. The true gospel of peace. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And I get to see this all the time from a personal standpoint in the lives of many people. Did you know that people turn to sex? People turn to drugs? People turn to alcohol? People turn to all the sins that we could even think of? Paganism, idolatry? They always have, they always will. They turn to these things because what they desire without even knowing that they desire it is something that God put in them that desires to have peace with God. And I want to show you today that in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he teaches the church this, that you were separated from God because of sin. Your biggest problem is sin. And the reason that there's so much turmoil in your life is not because you're doing all the right things and bad things just keep happening to you and oh, woe is you. Whoever keeps putting those things there, one more step down. I kick them every week, sorry. But the fact of the matter is this. Everyone who turns to the world's answers, been there, done that. As they say, have several t-shirts. But everyone who turns to the answers of the world for the solution to their problem, whatever that problem may be, and I'll tell you, that problem is this, sin. S-I-N, the principle that plagues you, the cancer that lives in your flesh. But the world gives you so-called answers, and when you turn to those answers, it is proof that you want the turmoil to stop. Why do people get drunk? They want the turmoil to stop. Why do people get high? They want the turmoil to stop. Why do people look in the wrong directions for relationships that they shouldn't get involved in? They want the turmoil to stop. They're looking for answers. They're looking for peace. They're looking for something somewhere other than peace with God. I want to read what Paul says in Romans chapter 5. And good news, the Texans play on Monday. Huh? Don't get all nervous. I'll have you out of here by 1:45, guaranteed. Romans chapter 5. Watch what he says here. We've been talking about grace through faith, have we not? We talked about salvation that comes only by grace. We talked about salvation that comes only through faith. Watch what he says here. Therefore, since we have been justified, I love that word. We're going to stop here for a second. Can I preach something that's not in my notes? If y'all ever saw my notes, you'd say you never preach anything in your notes. Justified. Therefore, since we have been justified. Simple things like this catch me. I had a preacher say this one time and it stuck with me. You know what justified means? Justified and never sinned. Just if I'd never sinned. Y'all understand that? Do you realize that's how justified you stand in the presence of God because of what Jesus Christ has done for you? How many of you believe Jesus Christ never sinned? How many believe that the righteousness of Christ has been imputed or given to you freely by grace through faith? How many of you believe that? So does Jesus ever stand in the presence of God sinful? Absolutely, positively not. He is sinless. That's how come he became the atoning sacrifice, the Lamb of God without spot and without blemish. Therefore, those of you who have been imputed righteousness, can any of you Lutherans dance? You stand in the presence of God just as if I'd never sinned. I know. Those of you who've been brought up in religion, you can't grasp that just yet. You can't get it. You've been brought up in self-righteousness. You've been brought up in earned salvation. You've been brought up in performance-based Christianity. That's not the gospel. Look what he says here. Therefore, since I have been justified through faith, talked about it last week. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of faith. And I can believe in such a wonderful Savior and know that there's substance to that belief. Why? Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have, watch this, peace with God. Wait a second. Let me break that down for you. He says, because you stand in the presence of God as if you've never committed one single sin. Because guess what? You couldn't stand in the presence of God if you had only committed one. He says, because of Jesus Christ and faith in Him, you stand in the presence of God sinless. And because of that, you have peace with God. We're going to talk about why you need peace with God in just a little while. But you just let that grab you. You don't have to grab that. Let that grab you for just a second. He says you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to see in a second that Kirk Hall was an enemy of God in turmoil because of sin. Never would I ever have been able to have peace with God the Father until Jesus Christ the Son was obedient to death and death on a cross. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance. We rejoice in our suffering. Why? Because listen, suffering is temporary. Perseverance in this life is temporary. One day our faith is going to be made sight and we will literally stand in the presence of God at peace with God, justified by Jesus Christ. Pardon me if I get excited about that. Because I'm going to tell you in a second why Kirk Hall needed peace with God. And you're going to see, I got reason to get excited. I got reason to shout. And I wish Christians would get that. If you had reason to shout, people would believe that you believe what you say you believe. They believe you're Texan fans because you shout. They believe you're Aggie fans because you shout. But then they see us in turn. saying nothing about the one who justifies us freely by grace through faith and allows us to stand in the presence of a holy God completely sinless and at peace with that holy God. Somebody, please get excited about that. Well, that preacher's just a fanatical. He shouldn't get up there and just shout about it and get so people are going to think he's angry. I'm not angry. I promise you, I'm excited. Because I shucked religion a long time ago, and I know this. I know that I deserve death, hell, and judgment, but I read the Word of God, and it says I stand before God totally clean. I can promise you this. There are not many churches who are preaching this message anymore. There are not many churches who are preaching the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you were filth. And now because of what Jesus Christ has done, you are completely washed, cleansed, acceptable to a holy God. You are at peace with the sovereign Lord of this universe. That's something to be said. That's something to be shouted. That's something, if you want to, David, please dance. David said, I'll do it. Let's look at this piece from this text. We're going to break it down, and then I'm going to tell you why we need peace with God. Why that's so important. But I want you to see this. The first part of this text, we see this. This peace is provided by God. We talked about it already when we talked about grace, but we can't talk about grace too much. You know, there are literally people who say that I'm a broken record about grace and about the cross and about Jesus, and I wish he would tell us something that applies to our life. Go to a small group. You'll grow there. But I promise you this, every time Kirk Hall has an opportunity to stand behind the pulpit of God, I promise you this, I'm going to preach Jesus Christ, Him crucified, and the fact that without Him, I'm destined for hell. I want you to see that this peace is provided by God, by Jesus, and a sacrifice. Don't ever forget that. If you're looking for peace in your life, I'm not talking about the feeling of peace. I'm not talking about the absence of war. That's how the world defines peace. Did you know that the world defines peace as the absence of war? That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about in the midst of the war, having peace that is overwhelming and peace that carries you through whatever storm you face. That's the kind of peace Jesus said he was going to give his disciples when he said, peace I leave with you, my peace. I do not give to you as the world gives. He says this to them in the Gospel of John, if you don't believe me. If I give you a peace that's different, it's provided by Jesus' sacrifice. Let me tell you this. Listen to me. I know I say it every week. I'm going to say it every week. I'm going to say it hopefully every day to someone who will listen. If you do not have peace with God, and you have constant turmoil internally inside of you, and you are looking for other ways to cure that, apart from Jesus Christ, you will never find anything that will fill that void and cure that problem. How do I know this? Paul tells us right there in the first part of 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have peace with God through the Southern Baptist Convention. We don't have peace with God through our religious denomination, affiliation, whatever that may be. We don't have peace with God because we've been baptized in water. We don't have peace with God because we've been baptized as an infant. We don't have peace with God because we've gone to confirmation. We don't have peace with God any other way except through, say it with me, Jesus Christ. If you're looking for peace today, look no further. Pray today He would reveal Himself to you, give you the faith, trust in His grace so that you could have that peace. It only comes by Jesus' sacrifice. We see that it's not only provided by God, by Jesus' sacrifice, by grace through faith. Don't ever forget that. Grace through faith and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone. You can never earn it. You can never work it. You can never achieve it. But we see this not only is this peace provided by God, this peace should propel us to rejoice in God. Should propel us to rejoice in God. Look at the second verse there, the second part of the second verse. Through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. How many of you are thankful that you stand in grace because you couldn't stand in yourself because you kept on falling? Didn't you? He says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Sort of calls you to rejoice. The fact that we have peace with God should propel us to rejoice. We ought to come together and we ought to shout and we ought to celebrate. I'm at peace with God. When the people, they see you and you're on your death's bed, and you get that notification from the doctor that you got a couple of days to live, and they see you in that hospital bed singing praise to Jesus, and they say, "What in the world is wrong with you?" You say, "I can rejoice because I have," what, say it with me, "peace with God." You know what your friend's going to ask you then? Because that's not how the world does, right? It's not what the world does. The world doesn't rejoice in the midst of those circumstances. The world complains and whines, "Why me? How could this happen to me?" Happen to you because the wages of sin is death. And there's an appointed time for all men to physically die. But we can rejoice because here's the thing. When I stand before God, woo! I stand justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, I have a reason to rejoice. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your rod and your staff, they will always comfort me. It propels us to rejoice. If you have peace with God right now, you might be Episcopalian, but you want to shout inside.
"Well, preacher, how come you always pick on other denominations?"
Just be happy. I'm not picking on the Baptists as much today. Those of you who are visiting with us and who are Baptists, don't get upset.
You say, "Well, are you anti-denomination?"
Yes, I am. I think it offends God that Jesus himself would pray that the disciples, his followers, would be one as he and the Father are one, and we won't agree to disagree on issues and be unified. Yes, it bothers me. But I just tend to let God be God, let Jesus Christ be the sacrifice and the hope of the world, and let everybody else just get mad at me. It propels us to rejoice in God. How many of you are propelled to rejoice in God because of the peace that he gives you freely by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? So we see it's provided by God. It propels us to rejoice in God. And it's poured out, watch this, in the form of love. It's poured out in the form of love. You say, "Kurt, what do you mean?" Look at verse 5. He says this, as we read on, let's read 2 all the way through. I only read 3 to begin with, but let's read the rest of them. "Through faith, whom we have gained access by faith," "through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings." When things get bad, we also rejoice. Why? What was he talking about? How many of you would say this context, he's talking about peace with God? So in the midst of perseverance, in the midst of trials, in the midst of things that come along, persecution that may come into your life, the general suffering of this fallen world, we can still rejoice because we know that suffering produces perseverance. That's a good thing. How many of you understand perseverance proves who you really are? I promise you this, I'm going to break the news to you. It's going to hurt your feeling. If you shrink away from faith in Jesus Christ when things get tough and you do not persevere, you didn't know Jesus Christ to begin with. You just knew about Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is that one who gives us the hope to persevere. And if he lives inside of you, that hope is never, ever going to go away. He said in perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You know how peace comes? Peace comes in the form of God's love. Does it not? How many of you have peace because you know this? I'm loved by God in spite of Kirk Hall. I'm loved by God because God in his sovereignty has already decided to love Kirk Hall. And he loved Kirk Hall enough that he showered graciously upon Kirk Hall forgiveness and mercy at the cross where Jesus Christ died in my behalf. No greater love than that. Jesus himself said, greater love has no man than that he would lay down his life for his friend. In God's love, we're going to talk about this in a second, I promise you. When I was an enemy, his desire was that I would be his friend. Not only that, when I kicked at him and I pushed him away in my rebellion and my sin, he pursued me and he loved me in spite of me so that that love would then usher in his peace in my life when I saw for the first time, because he gave me eyes to see and faith to believe, when I saw the first time that Jesus Christ loved me so much that he died on a cross for me, and he lavished that love on me, and it gave me hope, and it gave me peace. Peace is poured out in the form of love. Let me tell you something. How many of you would say God showers his peace on me in those tumultuous situations by wrapping his arms around me and showing me by that love, I'm going to love you and bring you through whatever hell you face on this earth, because that's what I died to do. And he lavishes that love upon us. We experience that peace. How many of you have ever walked through the valley in the midst of your darkest hour? Holy Spirit embraced you like he's never embraced you before. And you know what he didn't do? He didn't embrace you and start telling you about how many times you failed. He embraced you and showed you how much he loved you in spite of how many times you failed. And he assured you, because of the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that you are enveloped, you are sealed, you are secure in me until the day of redemption. I'm going to carry you through whatever it is that I have to carry. Lavishes his love upon us. His love, continually poured out by his Spirit, allows us to walk in peace. I don't know about you, but I couldn't walk in peace without the love of Christ that's continually poured out in my life. When he reminds me, when the enemy attacks me, because anybody here get attacked by the enemy? When you get attacked by the enemy, you know what the Holy Spirit's response is? You feel this? You know what I'm talking about? He loves you. Oh, I love you. I'm not going to let that thing continue to destroy you. I rescued you from that thing. That thing happened 20 years ago. In fact, I don't even remember that thing anymore. It's under the blood. It's gone. It's cleansed. It's washed. You're whole. You're complete. You are justified in my eyes. So just let me love you. You know, we have a hard time doing that, don't we? Stop fighting against God when he just wants to wrap his arms around you and love you. Stop telling him that you're unworthy to be loved. That's an insult to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You are worthy to be loved by God because Jesus Christ has justified you, period. And let him love you. Be loved. Enjoy the fellowship. He paid for it by his blood so that you could have it. Stop letting yourself talk you out of being loved by God as you walk in this earth, because when you talk yourself out of that love being poured into your life, you miss out on the peace of walking in that love. That God loves me in spite of me. I say it every day. I promise you, I pray that at least one time a day. Lord, thank you that you love me in spite of me. Why? Because I know me. I know all the people that I want to punch in the throat. I know all the failures that I have in my flesh. I know all the sin that I've ever committed that none of you will ever find out about. I know all of those things. But God lavishes his love upon me. And he shows me that those things have been paid for. You are justified in my presence because of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Therefore, son, walk in the peace that I have provided for you to have. I'll tell you what, you're never, ever, ever going to serve God until you let him continually love you. You walk out from your past at the enemy, and that sometimes you yourself beat you up about. You know, a comforting thought is this. Did you know the Bible tells us that God can and does forget our sin? We don't have the capability of doing that on this earth, do we? No. How many of you are your own worst enemy? You know what's cool about this? We like to think about this passage of Scripture that tells us that when fullness comes, we will know as we are known. When Jesus returns, we'll know as we are known. We like to think of that in a selfish way. We like to go, oh, that's cool. I'll know all the things that I've always wanted to know. I will never have to Google anything again. You'll know as you are known for the first time, when you are glorified in the presence of God for the first time, you will see yourself without spot and without blemish because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Do you understand the peace that that ought to bring us in our lives? That's greater than never having to ask a question and never having to Google anything again. One day I will be seen as God sees me. And listen, I know you don't see me as perfect. I promise you, I don't see me as anywhere close to perfect. But I have a God in heaven who has perfected me already. And He sees me as justified, and I have peace with God in my justification. So we see that this peace with God is provided by God. It propels us to rejoice in God and is poured out in the form of love from God that He continually lavishes upon our life. Now let's get to the meat of the sermon. That was just a snack. That was that first piece of bread before you got to the ham. Why do we need peace with God? Because there's some big shot in here who you got money? You got a good job? Your family seems to be going okay for the time being. And you think, why do I need anything else? I'm going to tell you why you need peace with God, why this is so important, why this passage of Scripture ought to jump out today and slap you across your forehead and say, check yourself before you wreck yourself, son. Understand what I am telling you. Y'all mind if we look at some Scripture together? First reason that I need peace with God is because of this. Those who aren't in Christ, those of you who think I'm a crazy idiot today because I'm rejoicing and I'm excited about Him. Because I promise you, if you know Him, you're rejoicing with me this morning in the peace that we have with God because of Jesus Christ. But maybe you're here today and you think I am absolutely out of my mind, and that is okay, I am. I hope I stay out of my mind and I walk in the mind of Christ, who always brings glory to the Father. Why do I need peace with God? Because those who aren't in Christ are at war with God. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, did you know this? If you don't know Jesus Christ here today, you are at war with a sovereign God. You are at war with God Almighty. You are at a war that you will never win, and you continually fight against Him. How many of you know what He told Saul right before he became Paul? He said, stop fighting against me. Stop fighting against me. Stop kicking against me. God's not pushing you away. God's not driving you away. God's not fighting against you. God's pursuing you. And what you do is you turn around and you fight Him. You're at war with God. You say, what do you mean I'm at war with God? Watch this. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature, that's those people who aren't in Christ. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on their natural desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Aren't we talking about peace? He goes on and he says this, the sinful man is hostile, watch this, belligerent, making war against, however you want to define it, he is hostile to God. Understand what it didn't say. It didn't say God's hostile to you. God's pursuing you with His love. God's pursuing you by His sacrifice. God's pursuing you that you might enter into a justified, sinless relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. It says you're hostile to Him. He says a sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful man, sinful nature, cannot please God. I like this part because he includes us back in this conversation. He says, you, however, talking to the believers, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. He said, you're controlled by the Spirit if the Spirit of God lives in you. There's comfort in that. You know what that means? I'm controlled by the Spirit if the Spirit of God lives in me. That means that the Spirit is going to guide me into righteousness for His name's sake. Thankful for that. I'm thankful that the work that He started in me is going to carry to completion because the Spirit lives in me and He's doing that work. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. That's all you people who think the Holy Spirit's a second blessing. That means you got saved when you got the Holy Spirit, so get your theology correct. I'm in. Getting sick and tired of churches telling people they missed out on something. Come on down and let us sling something on your forehead and you'll get the Holy Ghost. If you did that day, let me tell you, that's the day you truly were born again. Because that's what this passage just said, didn't it? Y'all help me out. Did he just say if the Spirit wasn't in you, you weren't in Christ? And if the Spirit is in you, leading you, you are in Christ? So if the Holy Spirit had to move in when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost. So if you had to move in then, listen, quit saying it like you're saying it and just say that was the day you really got saved and you just don't want to admit to your grandma that Bible she bought you and that time you got baptized didn't count for anything. Hello? Yeah, some people right now have already made their decision. I'm just not going to believe the Bible. Because Brother Lovejoy told me I needed a second blessing. You get one blessing. His name is Jesus Christ, and in Him it is complete. You didn't see that in the passage we read in Romans just a second ago. Wow, that was another free sermon. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. You know what He's saying? I'm doing a work in you guys who believe because of the peace that you have with God. You folks who don't believe, you're still at war against God. And it's evident by what's coming out of your life. Because you're not submitting to God. You're not submitting in obedience. You know why? Because you can't. How many of you could be obedient before you were saved? You know why? Because the Holy Spirit didn't live in you to cause you to be obedient. That's what we just read in that passage. Please understand that. So when the Holy Spirit moves in, He moves you into Christ's likeness. Why? Because whom He foreknew, He did also predestined to conform to the image of Jesus. At that point in time, you're all His. He's doing a work in you. Get out of the way and let Him do it. Stop fighting against Him. That's your old nature. Just submit. Holy Spirit, here I am. Living sacrifice. I lay it all down. When I see it in your word, I want to conform to what your word says. I don't want to fight against that any longer. Because now, through your spirit, I have the ability to walk in obedience, to bring you glory. Understand this. Those who don't know Jesus Christ, though, they're still hostile toward God. You do what you want to do, hoping God doesn't see still. Beep, beep, beep. I need a cricket noise. I need a cricket noise for moments like that when I say things like this. You still think you're fooling God. You're not. You're hostile toward Him. Everything that you do and everything that you say. Those of you here today who hear His voice and you do not submit to His voice, you again confirm you're at war against God leading you. Those who aren't in Christ are at war with God. Romans 8:5-11 told us that. I need to hurry, don't I? It's almost Monday night. Number two, why do we need peace with God? Here we go. Those who aren't in Christ, please pay attention to this. They don't talk about this in church anymore because it might offend someone. Those who aren't in Christ are objects of God's wrath. Uh-oh. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. You can't erase it. God is not pleased with you if you're not in Christ. Does He love you? Yes! He loves you enough that He sent His Son to rescue you, but He's not pleased with you. His wrath abides on you. Romans 1, flip back over there if you don't believe me. I love showing you in Scripture that these things are true. Romans 1. I'll look at just one verse to show you. It's the wrath of God is being revealed. Verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. You think the wrath of God isn't real? You better understand this. And those of you who are still hostile with God and you haven't experienced peace with God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, understand this. The wrath of God abides upon you. Flip over to Ephesians. Take it right. Get to Galatians. Keep going right. Ephesians chapter 5. So that you don't think I'm making any of this up, we're going to use the Bible. It's a new concept in church. Ephesians But among you, verse 3, chapter 5. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity. He said a hint. He's saying get rid of these things. You know why he's saying this? Because some of these people who he's writing to, they've been prone to these things their whole life. They came from a dysfunctional home, and that's all they've ever seen. He says, get those things out. Not even a hint of those anymore. Let me tell you something. Do you think some people were struggling in the church with these things? Absolutely. That's why he's writing this. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. He's saying, you've been made holy, right? Because we've been justified. We go back to Romans. We've been justified. Now that you've been justified, live like it. Why he's giving you these instructions. Nor should there be, obscenity, foolish talk, guilty, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. He goes on to say this, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. I know, wait a second before you get all crazy. That's why I spent the first 15 minutes telling you that if you're in Christ, you're justified. Because here's the thing. If I am in Christ, there is no sin that will ever be held to my charge. Because I know what some of you are doing. Wait, I do coarse joking sometimes. Because you don't want to say the other things that you do that were on the list. Right? Because Jesus said, if you look after a woman and you lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. So you fall into all those categories out there, don't you? That's for ladies too. Channing Tatum, i.e., there's your example. Dude needs to work on his abs, I think. But here's what he's saying. Listen. Here's what he's saying. He's saying if you haven't been justified, you're in big trouble. Because it's going to come out of your life and it's going to be evident. He says, for of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person. Here's the thing. You said, Kirk, do you mean you don't have impure thoughts, or you mean that you don't have never done immoral things as a believer? You mean you've never sinned? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying those things have been paid for by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'm justified with God, and I have peace with God of knowing that's not who I am. Watch the rest of this text. He says, this person has no inheritance in the kingdom of God, Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Those of you who aren't in Christ, His wrath is upon you, and it's coming in greater force as you grow older. I promise you. He says this, therefore do not be partners with them. That's why people say, hey, I'm going to go on a business with a friend. Was that friend a believer? No, I'm not sure. Will they stand with Christ? Then don't you dare go on business with them. Well, I'm thinking about getting married. Well, is this guy that you're marrying, is he a believer? I'm not really sure. Don't you dare marry him. Why? Because he's an enemy of God by his own choosing. The wrath of God abides on him. And when you marry him and you walk into that covenant with him, you walk into God's wrath whether you like it or not, sleeping right next to you. Therefore, do not be partners with him. Watch what he says here. I love this. Let's just leave it and go home. No, you'd be worried then. Watch this. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And he says, live. Read that with me. Live as children of light. Live as children of light. He says, what you once were. You're not that anymore. Understand that. Live like you're really justified. But if you're not really justified, here's what he says. Can I break it down for you? I promise. I'm going to hurry. He says, the wrath of God abides in you. You say, well, Kirk, are you really saying that God is not pleased with me? That's exactly what I'm saying. If you're not in Christ, there is no way in the world a holy God could ever be pleased with you. Well, that hurts my feelings, and I just don't know if I'm ever going to come back to this church. Go on and find somewhere else. There are plenty who will tell you what your little tickly ears want to hear. But I'm telling you the truth, as real as I am standing here before you today, I'm saying this, if you are not in Christ, God is not pleased with your life, period. I don't care how many times you come to church, how many dimes you put in that offering box back there, it really doesn't matter because it doesn't happen like that. You're in Christ by grace through faith in Him alone. That's it. There you find peace with God. Anybody bored yet? I know, I've gone 3 minutes over 12. I really don't care. Because I want to get to this last one. We've seen those who aren't in Christ are at war with God. Those who aren't in Christ are objects of God's wrath. What a scary place to be, because Scripture tells me it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. I'm thankful that God's no longer angry with Kirk Hall. I'm thankful. You parents ever been angry at your children because they made the wrong decision? Yeah. You don't stop loving them, do you? You don't stop hoping the best for them. But you're angry. If they drive you to a certain point, they're going to feel the wrath. Some of you need to realize today you're not at peace with God because God's wrath abides upon you. God is not pleased with your life. He's showing you that. That's why you don't have peace. That's why He's allowing you to be in turmoil, so that today you can turn to Jesus Christ with a peace that surpasses all understanding. Those who aren't in Christ are objects of God's wrath. And thirdly, I promise I'm done after this one. Those who aren't in Christ are not welcome into God's presence. Those who aren't in Christ are not welcome into God's presence. Y'all pay attention to this one, okay? I want you to pay attention closely. Because there are all these people that think they're approaching God, and they're not approaching God through Jesus Christ and faith in Him alone and the grace that He provided through His sacrifice. They really think that they're approaching God, and they are not. I don't care how many times you rub those beads. Say those Hail Marys. Go to confession. Those things will not save you. Those things will not give you access to God the Father. The only thing that gives you access to God the Father is Jesus Christ, Colossians chapter 1. I know what you're saying. Man, we looked at more Bible today than I've looked at all week long. Herein lieth the problem. Go eat popcorn. Galatians. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You'll remember that. You'll remember nothing else that I ever say to you. You'll remember that. Chapter 1, verse 19. Hey, don't get so antsy. If I had it to do my way, we would have read all of these passages, the whole book in its entirety, as we came to these points. But I'm making it easy on you so you can get to that Monday night football game. Colossians 1:19. Get ready? For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, referencing Jesus, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Watch this. Pay attention to the next verses. Once you were alienated from God. Underline that. You're an outcast. Not welcome into His presence, nor to His throne room, nor into His kingdom. Absolutely, positively not, because you were a transgressor and a sinner. He said once. I love that. It's past tense. Woo! Once I was alienated from God. Watch this. And were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. What does that mean? Your enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. Every time you wanted to approach God, your mind said, you can't approach God. You're the guy who said, if I go to that church, the roof's going to fall in. God lets you think those things so that you realize you're alienated. Understand that. Because here's the thing. It might fall in. If it does before you accept Jesus Christ, let me assure you this. You will stand in judgment. You will spend an eternity in hell for your sin. So here's the thing, before I walk into a church that I think the roof may fall in, I'm going to get right with Jesus before I walk in. He says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight without blemish. Watch this, and free from accusation. What you once were doesn't matter, even if the devil or your own brain tells you over and over it does. It doesn't. You've been cleansed. That part of your life is in the past. It's over with. And he says this, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from this hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. What is he saying here? We're not going to jump over that. He's not saying you'll lose salvation. He's saying the same thing he said before, perseverance. He's saying if you hold on to the faith, why? Because faith is the only hope that we have. Faith in Christ is the only hope that we have. And apart from that faith in Christ and that hope we have, we do not have peace with God and we cannot come into the presence of God. Why? Because we're alienated by our sin. We are enemies of God apart from Jesus Christ and faith in Him. Wow. That's going to mess some of you people up this morning because you came to church thinking you were God's friend. You just realized you're God's enemy because you've never really surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. And I wish I could give you better news, but I just can't do it because then I'd be one of those lying preachers who just want your money. But I'm not that guy. I love you enough and God loves you enough to send me today. This very day I have an appointment with you. Did you know that? By God's sovereign plan, I'm here today to tell you this. The turmoil in your life because of sin can stop. The fact that you're an enemy of God today because of sin can stop. The fact that you're an outcast from God's kingdom today and the wrath of God abides on you, it can stop today and you can leave here at peace with God, forgiven of all your sins because of what Jesus Christ has done. Or you can sit there in your seat and you can play like you got it all together. And I promise you this, one day you will be separated from God forever. Not because God didn't love you. Not because God didn't love you. But because sin continues to devour you and to eat at you and to rip you of everything that God desired for you to have in the beginning. And when He gave you the cure for your disease, some of you right now, He's showing you that cure in your heart. Jesus Christ is the only way, and you better turn to Him today. Because when He gave you the cure for your disease, you said, no, thank you, and you walked out. Or you did as some were in the danger of doing here at Colossians. You said, okay, sounds good. But then you later abandoned it. Those are called apostates. They were never true believers. Please understand that. But today, I promise you this. God gives you the true faith that it takes to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. He ushers His grace into your life through the blood sacrifice of Jesus and cleanses you of your sin. You will forevermore be cleansed and welcome into the presence of a holy God. You will be His child for all eternity. There's nothing that anyone, including yourself, can ever do about that. But it comes down to this. Do you want the turmoil that you've always had? Or would you today turn from your sin? Well, this is called repentance. You won't hear this very much either. Turn from your sin and turn to the only hope that you have, which is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Would you stand your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed? You're here today. I pray this. I pray if you're a believer and you're at peace with God because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and you know this, I pray today that you would pray for those who are here who are not. I pray that you would not use this invitation time as a time to go to the restroom. Would you just hold it for just a second? If you're here today, you say this, Kirk, I know in my life right now that I am not at peace with God because I have not surrendered to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I feel this morning in my heart that God is pulling me out of my sin, loving me to a point that I would turn from my sin and turn to His love that He shared with me at the cross and to submit to Jesus Christ as my only hope to be saved from my sin. You say, Kirk, that's me. That's me right now. I need God's peace in my life and I'm willing to lay my life aside, turn from it, turn to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. If that's you, would you slip up your hand right now as the music begins to play and say, that's me. Thank you, man. Keep it up for me. If you really believe that, I want you to keep it up. Thank you, sir. Keep it up for me. Thank you, ma'am. Keep it up for me. Thank you, sir. Keep it up for me. Anyone else who says, that's me? Who says, today I want to be at peace with God, Kirk. Everything you said, you were talking to me. Let me tell you this, I was. But it wasn't me. It was Him. You say, I want peace with God. I'm willing to turn from my sin and from myself and turn to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You have your hands in the air. Maybe you're here and you say, I hadn't raised my hand yet, but I need to. Kirk, I need Jesus today. I need Him. Thank you, ma'am. I need Him to save me today. Anyone else that says that to me? I want you to look at me eye to eye. Just you folks to have your hands in the air. Look at me eye to eye. Do you believe back there? Do you believe God's telling you to leave your life of sin and to turn to Jesus Christ? Do you believe that He died for your sin on the cross? That He rose on the third day to give you new life today? Do you believe that? Ma'am, do you believe that? Ma'am, do you believe that? You believe God's telling you that? Sir, do you believe that? Listen, the Bible says this. He says that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead and we shall be saved. If you have the faith to believe in your heart today, we've already covered this last week. It's God doing His work in you. Let Him do that work. Just get out of the way. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Listen, I promise you, as I say every week, this prayer will not save a single soul. Jesus saves souls. What this prayer is doing by you outwardly vocalizing this, you are with your mouth for the very first time, claiming your allegiance to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, thanking Him for the blood that He shed on the cross for you to give you the new life that you're going to receive today. I want you to pray this with me. If you're serious, are you serious about it? Those of you who have your hands in here, pray this with me. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks, because what everybody else thinks does not matter. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that Your wrath is on my life. God, I know that Jesus Christ died to free me from that wrath. I know that His blood shed on the cross was to wash me of all my sin. Lord, I ask that You would cleanse me this very moment of all the sin I've ever committed. Lord Jesus, I thank You that You died for me. I thank You, Father, that You love me enough to rescue me today, to give me new life, a fresh start, and an eternity with You. Fill me with Your Spirit now and teach me to live this new life that You've graciously given. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you raise your hand and you meant business with God, we have prayer partners down front. This is not to embarrass you. This is to take the Word of God just as we've done all morning. I want you to start making your way down right now. To take the Word of God as we've done this morning in this message. But here's what happened. You just begin to make your way down. There'll be people who will meet you right up front. If you mean business with God, I promise you, you won't have a problem humbling yourself before all these people. These altars up for you believers to come confess sin, to repent, and just worship the Lord. I want to make sure, 100% sure today, because I happen to believe that there's more people here. But right now in your heart, you saw these people walk down and humble themselves before this whole congregation. But most importantly, they humbled themselves before God Almighty to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And in your heart, you know the Spirit spoke to you and said, it should have been you too. It should have been you too. You're here and you say, you're talking to me, preacher. Would you slip up your hand right now? You're talking to me, preacher. I've been running from God and I know I've been running from God. Today, I want to stop running and I want to experience peace with God through accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Anyone here like that today, throw your hand up. I want to pray with you and pray for you. Anyone like that? Say, Pastor, I know I'm a believer. To be honest with you, right now in my life, it seems I'm forfeiting the peace that Jesus Christ paid for me to have. I'm picking up the things of the flesh. Let me tell you this, when you pick up the things of the flesh, I promise you, you miss out on the peace that Jesus died for you to have, because that peace doesn't come in our flesh. It's not a feeling. If you're you're here and you say, that's me, let me tell you this. This altar is open. Get on your face before God. Say, God, just as, listen, men of God such as David prayed in the Bible, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. God, restore that joy. You know how you have that joy? When you walk in that peace that He provides. David understood that peace. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I have peace right there with me. But he lost sight of that, didn't he? So he had to get to that moment where he got on his face and he said, restore joy your salvation, because I've blown it. If you've blown it today, I promise you, these people are here to pray with you just as well. This altar is open. If you're a child of God, we've already seen, you can approach the throne of God today in your time of need. Cry out. Confess to Him what you've done, what you're doing. Ask Him to give you the strength to do and to be what Jesus Christ died for you to do and to be. Allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life. Allow Him to have His way in you today.
Giving you my heart, all that is within, lay it all down for the sake of you.